listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Reading again from Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Here we have God's wonderful way of restoring the awfulness of what man did in sin, bringing dishonor on God, bringing ourselves down where we are rightly called opposers of ourselves. But here in Christ, there can again be the new. We were created in the image of God. We lost it. And here is the recreation in Christ. Let's pray in His name that God will give His Spirit, that the church will be revived in this and do more of it, as Paul is writing here to the church at Colossae, and that the world will be called, as these were out of the world, into the glorious kingdom of Christ. Our Father, we give thanks for these words. We give thanks for what they describe. We give thanks that though they were written 1900 and some years ago, they are as true tonight, today, as they were then. And they are as applicable to us as they were in Colossae to those believers there in every part of the world. And as we have read, there was neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, because Thou, Lord Jesus, art all in all. And all of us must be hid in Thee, and Thee in us. And we pray that we might know Thy words as they were spoken just before Thy death, that we must abide in Thee, and Thou abide in us. Help us to understand these things. Help us to believe the great need of them, and to know that without Thee, Lord Jesus, we can do nothing but fall, nothing but sin. And we pray for the Spirit to be given to revive the church now. Bring it into truth. Bring it away from the ways of sin and the ways described here. Those that must be mortified in other places described as crucify them. And even as Paul himself could say, and I died. And we pray for more of that, that we might humble ourselves in Thy sight and before Thee. We pray, Father, that we might have these blessings for Thy glory, that we might have them for the blessings in the church, in the home, in the nation, and we might have them for all of the world, that the world will know, Father, that Thou hast sent Christ. We pray, Father, for these spiritual blessings first and above all. We pray also and give thanks that the temporal blessings have been given, that we have seen the rain on the just and the unjust, the sun shines on all the world. We have known Thy long-sufferingness, Thy mercy, but also, Father, we see on many Thy judgments. And we pray for those especially who are dying in famine. We pray for those in homelessness. We pray for those in the terribleness of the war-torn lands, and those that are in danger of death and who have lost loved ones and are in sorrow. Those, Father, that are injured and those that are sick. We pray for those, especially those that will soon meet Thee in death because of their injuries and their sickness. We pray, Father, for other needs there are. We pray for our homes, the many, many troubled homes, the broken homes. We pray for the children in those homes. We pray that once again our leaders may have the fear of Thee, which is the beginning of wisdom. And, Father, not only our leaders, but ourselves, that leaders will come out of people, out of the church, out of our homes that are brought to repentance and brought to faith in Thee, so there can be the beginning of righteousness. We pray, Father, for other needs that there are, and we give thanks for all that has been given in Christ. Amen. As we look again at these wonderful words of life, which they are, believing them, we have life. As this chapter begins, if ye then be risen with Christ. Or if we go back to the beginning of the epistle, as Paul announces himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ, but then to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are in Colossae, in Christ. Our life is hid in Him, as Paul here writes further. Can we believe such a great blessing that the world of sin, the world that is enmity against God, the world that, as Christ said to Nicodemus, hates the light, that God puts those same sinners in Christ, in His Son, after we together have hated Him and together have crucified Him. We might say that just those who were there, those 1900 and some years ago, crucified Him, but we did it as well. And they are simply our representatives. He had to die because of our hatred, the whole world, every nation, every tongue, every tribe, all of us together. Paul could ask the question, are we better than they? And in no wise, we have together become unprofitable. Together, all of us, died in Adam, have hated God and hated our neighbor. Some places it shows itself more than others, the terribleness of the wars that are raging, the civil strife in nations, some not knowing who they are, their friends suddenly turning on them and shooting, killing. And we see the same thing, not only in war, but we see the same thing. Youth, part of youth, killing other parts of youth, terribly. In our nation, the cities, awful. And worse than that, mothers killing their unborn children. What could be worse? We talk about a mother's love. And then we think of mothers killing their children. Awful, awful, awful. Part of it has its beginning in those things that we have studied about here, that Paul writes after stating the wonderful things of being in Christ and seeking those things where Christ is, that we can seek them by faith. But then he says in verse 5, which we saw some of last week, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. And what he could say to them, he needs to say to all of us. We need to say it to the world, to repent, to mortify, as Paul stated when he was in Athens and Mars Hill. God commands all men everywhere to repent. We have to hear that, but we will only do it when it's seen and heard together with the message of the gospel, with the message of Christ, being risen in Him, or as we read earlier, different ways in which it was described, made peace with God through the blood of the cross, chapter 1, circumcised with the circumcision made without hands and putting off the body of the flesh of the circumcision of Christ in chapter 2, and here in chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ. Those are the only ones that will have ears to hear and hearts to understand that we are to mortify our members. We aren't saved by doing these things, but because we have been saved by God in Christ and by the blessing and the power of the Spirit, according to the Word, then we will begin to do these things. It will be a proof of life, like a baby isn't alive because it breathes. It breathes because it's alive. It's had been born. And the same thing with every believer. He doesn't become a believer because he or she did something. He becomes a believer because God did something. Christ did something. The Holy Spirit did something. All that is by grace. And then when that is done, when we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, when we have been saved by totally outside of ourselves, Christ on the cross, when we have been saved by the work of the Spirit coming to us, the Spirit that, as Stephen would say, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as did your fathers, so do ye. I did it. Everyone does it, till the Spirit comes with such great blessing, the Spirit of Christ to overcome, to change, to give the new birth, to open eyes, to quicken us from the dead, the deadness of our sins. And even as we just read here, verse 7, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. We are, as it were, brands plucked from the burning, and we must not omit that. We must not forget that. And if you haven't learned it, you must learn it. You can't just begin by trying to mortify a rebel mind. It won't be humbled. It must be changed. It must be turned. We must have our hearts opened by the Spirit to receive the Word and to believe in the heart and then confess with the mouth. And only then can we do as Paul said to another church, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And for the reason, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. To the church at Philippi, it was given in different words, but it's exactly the same as we read here of these, whether we call it circumcision made without hands, or whether we call it some of the other things. It is all the same, and we have mentioned some of these things before, but God did it here in Colossae. And now they were, because of God, because of the Spirit, risen with Christ. God, who raised Christ from the dead, did the same thing in each one of these sinners, quickened them from being dead in sin. Now, after all of that has been given, all of that has been worked in them, all of that for God's glory, and all of that so they will be a witness in the world. They are to mortify these members, our body, different parts of it, different thinking, different lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the lust of the mind, the pride of life, all of that is there, as John describes it, and it is to be mortified. It is to be reckoned dead. The first one is fornication. We saw some of that last week, but I want to mention it again because that leads to many other sins. Fornication is the sexual sins of the unmarried. Many times beginning, and especially in our recent years, in younger and younger young people. We almost might say younger and younger children. Some of it of their own doing, and some of it in the terribleness of what are called slaves. Young children being made slaves, sexual slaves. And it's going on, probably in many nations, our own, other nations as well. Some people wanting to make money that way, selling these slaves to those who will buy these evil ways and evil deeds in young children. Terrible. It's taking place, and some have said there's more slaves today than there ever have been in the past, when there were altogether too many in the past. And now many are slaves in other ways, but especially the sexual slavery. And there are those who do this for their money. There are those that are called sex rings. They are themselves promoting fornication. And there are other ways. Many of those who are guilty of fornication are later guilty of adultery and guilty of divorce and guilty of abortion. All of that has many times its beginning there. Certainly it begins not just with a deed, it begins in the heart, it begins in the mind, it begins with the lust of the flesh, but it is a terrible thing that needs to be recognized, and today we just simply call it new morality. And many would, in the schools, say, well, there's safe sex, trying to avoid pregnancy. But there is no safe sex outside of marriage. How safe is this to be in this way? Listen. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Is that safe? Under the wrath of God? Woe unto those who promote it and say, well, you can do this and have safety. Literally pushing them under God's wrath. It's done in the schools. It's done in many different ways. Awful. More than we can, as David could say of himself and of his sin, more than we can count. And we need to wake up, or we will wake up in hell. That's the end of it. That's the final place of God's wrath. That's why Paul can write in some of the epistles, delivered from the wrath to come, or giving the message, flee from the wrath to come. And that's what we need to do. We are enmeshed in the ways of fornication. People use it to advertise. Put sex on with the signs and the advertisements. All of it is there, wicked. It is everywhere. It must be as the command is here. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And see, either mortify or suffer the wrath. One of the two. There's no place between. We may think there is, and we may be in what Christ talks of, lukewarmness, but that will end in wrath. He said, I would that you were hot or cold, because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. And where will those be that are spewed away from Christ? Risen with Christ. If we go back to the first chapter, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's no other hope of glory except in Christ. None, 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 none. Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ Jesus the Son of God. Christ Jesus the Son of God who was with him in creation became a man. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Humbled himself to the death of the cross. There in our creation, saying, let us make man. Believe it to the saving of your soul. Believe it in repentance. And then believe it in faith. And then do what God is saying here through Paul. Mortify your members. They own them. The Colossians own them. You own them. I own them. They're there. They're fighting the Spirit. They're resting the Word. Ignoring it. Becoming cold toward it. The next word is much the same. Uncleanness. And the next one, not much different. Inordinate affection. One is probably doing the deed. Fornication. Uncleanness can be doing the deed or speaking it. Sometimes, as Paul writes to another church, foolish talking, jesting. And here it is all given in a role. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and then evil concupiscence. What does that word mean? One writes it this. At being an irregular appetite, and undue emotion against reason. And that's where we are today, unreasonable in our thinking, in our doing, foolish, wicked, against God, against self. As Paul writes to the church at Rome, suffering that recompense. How many people are foolish and dying a young age because of that concupiscence? And we've seen it where these sins are there. First of all, not too long ago, our nation, the majority, was against some of these sins. Now the majority are saying, allow it, let it go. The churches have come out again just recently. Oh, they can be a blessing to us. They can be a blessing if they have repented. If they have been turned away from sin to God. Or, make it plainer, from Satan to God. That's what it is. All these wicked things are of Satan, the master deceiver, the one that has everyone captive until we're set free by Christ. And if we deny that, we are in the way of evil concupiscence, not good concupiscence, evil. I remember once when we were young boys that one of the boys said to the rest of us, that's evil. We all laughed. We thought it was a big joke. But he was right. We were wrong. Evil is evil. Especially in the sight of God. and it must become evil in our own sight, or our evil ways will take us to eternal punishment. If they're not recognized, if it's not believed from Scripture, and here evil concupiscence, it is a sin against the work of the Spirit that comes against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit, contrary one to another. Our only hope again is in Christ, as Peter referred back to what God promised already to Abraham. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Moses wrote it, God said it to Abraham, and then Moses, writing it later, gives us those words in Genesis chapter 3, repeating again in Genesis chapter 22, and Peter repeating them, Paul repeating them, God blessing all nations in the seed of Abraham. Christ, who was born in that seed, in that lineage, all the way through Abraham, then through David, and finally born of the Virgin Mary, and suffered on the cross, died, but rose again, and is now on the right hand of God. He's been sitting there through all these years. God spoke of it already long before by David, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And now he is doing that. And he is making enemies his footstool. These people here became the footstool. There are many other names that could be given. If we really have this, as the Colossians did, we are children of God. If we hear the voice of Christ, we are his sheep. My sheep hear my voice. We are called believers. We read in the book of Acts, they were first called Christians in Antioch. And we are servants. What a blessing to be a servant and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? As Paul did. And hear God telling his servants, the servants that teach others and the servants that listen and do these things, mortify therefore your members. Along with it, all these things, and the last one that is mentioned in this fifth verse, covetousness, which is idolatry. Instead of being satisfied with God's ways, we say, I want this, I want that, I want that. Dissatisfied, murmuring, complaining. It's sin. And here Paul says, which is idolatry. God who said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Believe that. And listen to his voice through Christ, his Son.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people.